The Lord be with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and to tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Can you see that well? Can you see that photo well? Well enough? I want you to study it for a moment. I'll be referencing it here in a sec. Some of the greatest works of art were created, I guess you would say, as visual sermons for all those who would enter into the religious places in Europe. And one of those works of art is what we find up here on the slide ahead. It is the Eisenheim altarpiece, and it was painted by Matthias Grunewald. And it was painted for the monastery of St. Anthony in Eisenheim near Colmar in France. Just look at it for a moment. Like most altarpieces, the central focus of that piece is the crucifixion of Jesus. But one of the most unusual things that make this work so striking to me is it shows John the Baptist at the crucifixion. If you take a look at the bottom right-hand part of the screen. I mean, if we know our Bibles well, I mean, even if you don't know your Bible well, you know that John was beheaded before Jesus was crucified. So by the time that Jesus was hanging on the cross, John had already died and was buried. But here is Matthias Grunewald painting John the Baptist into this image. So the question that I have is, what is the message that Grunewald was trying to convey for this painting, for this work. Just look at it for a moment. As you study this photo, you'll notice something significant about John the Baptist. And the thing that stands out most to me is that John the Baptist has that index finger pointing directly to Jesus hanging on the cross. It is pointing straight at the crucified Jesus. This is John pointing to Jesus and saying, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." This is the message of John that speaks to all people down through the ages. If one could understand everything that this one tiny sentence in all of Scripture has to say, you would be worthy of the title of Doctor of Theology. This sentence from John the Baptist is one of the most powerful expressions of the gospel known in Scripture. With the full meaning of these words are all the sentences of the creeds of the church. So let's look at that statement this morning. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The word behold, since we're still in Epiphany season, a church season known as Epiphany Tide, that word behold, it's an epiphany word. It's a word that means, look here, I want to show you something. It means to perceive using visual faculty. John uses this word so that he can show Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to his listeners and to us. I mean, we've already read in about verse 32 of John chapter 1, he had already had an epiphany. After John baptized Jesus, he says that the heavens opened and the Spirit descended like a dove upon this one. And he heard the voice that declared, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now John is proclaiming this epiphany to his listeners. I mean, he's doing the work of a prophet. He is the most important prophet, I think, of all of the Old Testament. He's doing the work of a prophet and pointing to Jesus, the Son of God and Savior of the world. What is he saying? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, although some sacrifices required bulls and goats and birds, the lamb, more than any other animal, was the animal required by most of the sacrificial regulations that we find in the Old Testament. The word lamb, as it's used in the sentence, brings to mind the continuous flow of blood from the altar in Jerusalem. Consider the multitude of sacrifices, the regular sacrifices, the morning and evening sacrifices, the purification sacrifices, the sin and guilt offerings that had to be made. And then on top of those, we have the festival sacrifices of the Feast of Booths, the Pentecost, the first fruits. And once again, as we read in Exodus, let's not forget the Passover. Massive amounts of blood flowing from the altar in Jerusalem. When John says the Lamb, the image of all of these sacrifices come to mind. And why does it come to mind? Because all devout Jews knew that they were the ones that should have been sacrificed. They knew that they had earned God's eternal wrath for their sin. They knew. Just as they knew that sheep are amazingly helpless regarding the things of this world, so they also knew that they themselves were just as helpless regarding the things of God. They knew. This image was so strong that God often referred to the people as His sheep and Him as their shepherd. They understood that the sacrificial lamb, with its blood flowing from the altar in Jerusalem, was taking their place. Was taking their place. Now John was saying that this man who was the shepherd has now become the lamb in order to become the sacrifice for them. The word lamb reminds us of the sacrifice that was made for us in our place. Just think about that sentence for a moment. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb is God's Lamb. God's Lamb. The Lamb of the Old Testament ceremony it couldn't have any spots or blemishes. It had to be as close, as perfect as possible as can be in this sin-filled earth. Its sacrifice was to remind the people of God that one day God would send His perfect Lamb to make the sacrifice pointed to all by all the other sacrifices described in the Scriptures. John is saying that this Lamb is God's Lamb. This is what was promised. He is not just close to perfect, but He is perfect. He is the culmination of all the sacrifices of all time. He is the sacrifice that fulfills the first sacrifice that God made when He killed some animals to put some skins on Adam and Eve after they fell. That this lamb fulfills the sacrifice that Abel offered. It fulfills the sacrifices that Noah offered after he landed on the ark in safety, or from the ark in safety. This lamb fulfills the sacrifices of Abraham, including the sacrifice He made after He nearly sacrificed His own son, Isaac. He is the one time, this Lamb is the one time for all sacrifices that make all other sacrifices meaningful. They mean nothing outside of this one sacrifice. We should get excited when we hear these words, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." the words that John uses, the sin, it gathers the stench of sin into one disgusting mass of evil. It includes all of the wars. It includes all of the murders. It includes all of the rapes. It includes all of the thefts. It includes all of the sinful thoughts, all of the sinful words, all of the sinful deeds that anyone and any time ever had. It includes the sinful nature that we were born with. It includes all of our gossip. It includes all of our divisiveness. It includes all of our complaints. It includes all of our grumbling. It includes all of our worry. It includes all of the lies that we ever told to our parents. All of the lies that we ever told to our spouses. The lies that we've told to our children. And yes, all the lies that we've told to our pastors. I know. You can't get by me. It includes all of the lies that we've told to ourselves. It includes all of the lies that we've even told to God. It includes the thoughts that we've had as our eyes lingered too long as we looked upon someone of the opposite sex. It includes every putrid, every vile thing that you and I or anyone else has ever thought, done, or said. It includes it all. Anything that has been done or said that flew in the face of God's holy law and has earned for us eternal damnation, it includes it all. So there's reason to rejoice when we hear John's words, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The words of the world mean that the work of God the Lamb, Jesus Christ, is good for the whole world. The Greek word that is translated here in this sentence is kosmos. It's the root word that we have for our English word cosmos. There is this cosmic effect in the redemption of Christ. This word means that everything that God has created, everything that God has brought into existence by the command of His word, everything, it covers everything. The gifts of God are not for the English-speaking people. The gifts of God are not for the Romans. It's not for the Germans. It's not for the Scottish. It's not for the Greek. It's not for the Jewish. They transcend all nations and all people groups. They're not restricted to the rich or the poor. It's not restricted to the young or the old. They are for all people in all times and in all places. There is no sin anywhere by anyone that the Lamb of God does not take away. That's why John's words mean so much when he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The words "take away" are just one word in the original Greek. And that word means to remove or to lift up and carry to another place. This means that the Lamb of God, this Lamb takes the load. He takes the curse. He takes the damnation of the total massive amount of sin onto Himself. He lifts the awful burden from us and He carries it to the cross. There our sin is crucified with the Lamb. There our sin is put to death. This one act of lifting and carrying away our sin is good for all time. So if we think about this logically, the path that Jesus took when He carried the weight of the sin of the world didn't begin on His way down the Via Dolorosa on the cross, no. It began when He was conceived in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He took on our humanity and humbled that humanity underneath the weight of God's law. John's words tell us that it is Jesus' vocation, that it was His purpose. Once again, He wasn't born to give us a holiday. He was born to take away the sins of the world. It was His vocation, it was His purpose to carry away the sins of the world. John's words tell us that Jesus was already carrying the sins of the world when He made His declaration, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." When John said these words, he considered the taking away to have already, for it to have already been a done deal. The forgiveness of sin that comes as a result of the Lamb's sacrifice was already available to all. All the saints of the Old Testament receive salvation because of this one Lamb's sacrifice, because it is good for all time and all places and all people. God's promise is as if John already heard Jesus declare the victory on the cross when He said the words, "It is finished." We should bolster with joy when we hear the words, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." The word "the" before the word "lamb" tells us that there is only one Lamb. The Lamb that John points to is the one and only Savior. There are no others. All other faiths in the world tell us that we must earn our salvation. But as soon as we are honest with ourselves and understand our very sinful nature, it is easy to see that no one can earn their place in heaven. No one is good enough. No one is righteous. No, not one. Kind of sounds like a Bible verse. People can lead their lives of desperation in their sin. They can wear their conscience down until they can wear it down to a pulp so that they cannot feel their sin. But my friends, they cannot save themselves. Only the Lamb of God can do that. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We respond to John's declaration in this, what we're about to participate in, this Eucharistic sacrifice. God reveals the presence of the Lamb in this sacrament of sacraments, as we ask for God's mercy, as we approach this altar and say, Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Here we will commune and we will participate in the body and blood of this Lamb. Here we will join angels and archangels and the armies of heaven, all of the heavenly hosts, to glorify God with the words, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he. Blessed is this Lamb who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. My friends, we need to burn this and understand this phrase in our mind, and here's why. This sentence will stand forever. It will stand forever. It has been since eternity past. Long after this world is gone, long after the world as we know it no longer exists, and long after the creation of the new heavens and the new earth, we will gather before the Lord and say, according to Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Even in Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, we'll sing a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth. My friends, we have to have this line burned in our memory. We have to understand the significance of the words of John the Baptizer. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When John saw Jesus, when John pointed at him and he said this short sentence, my friends, he said more than I could ever explain this morning. And I'm trying hard. When God inspired John the Beloved to write down these words of John the Baptizer, he was giving us something to think about, but not only to think about, to comfort us for the rest of our lives and on to eternity, because this sentence, this word, remains forever. And it's because of what this Lamb has accomplished in our place. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Amen.